From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Al Letson Reveals. Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian interference in the U.S. elections may be on the verge of more indictments. Yesterday, I spoke to a man who says he could be next. His name is Jerome Corsi. He's a 72-year-old far-right Republican. He and Donald Trump have known each other for decades, and they bonded over the birther movement. That's the completely false claim that Barack Obama wasn't born in the U.S. Corsi's accused of being the middleman between Trump's presidential campaign and WikiLeaks, which released those Russian-hacked emails before the 2016 presidential election. But that's not what Corsi's in trouble for. In the Justice Department documents he shared with us, the special counsel's office says he lied during the investigation. Jerome Corsi, thanks for joining me.
Al, great to be with you. Thank you.
So at the heart of all this is the WikiLeaks release of emails belonging to Clinton campaign chair John Podesta in October of 2016, right before the presidential election.
Correct. That's right.
Okay. So now, according to a draft plea agreement that you shared with us and other media, the Justice Department says that in July of 2016, Roger Stone, who's been an advisor to the Trump campaign and, you know, is a political provocateur, he emailed you and asked you to get to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who's been living in the Ecuadorian embassy in London for years. So Stone asked you to get the pending WikiLeaks emails. You say that you passed that request on to somebody else, Ted Malik.
Yes, that's correct.
So all of that's correct, right?
Yes, that's all correct.
So then 8 days later, you email Roger Stone and write, "Word is, friend in embassy plans two more dumps," indicating that more emails would be released in two batches, one coming soon, the other in October. We should note that Podesta's emails were released October 7th, 2016.
Correct.
So you agree that that's exactly what happened now, right?
Even though I said word is, I did not have another source. It was what I had figured out on my own. I acknowledge I was trying to make it look like I had another source. It made it sound a little more credible, but I did not have another source. So, I mean, I'm telling Roger in that email, which is when I was in Italy, 25th wedding anniversary, my wife and family, that I had come to the conclusion that Julian Assange had Podesta's emails. And I was letting Roger and others know that through that email.
Okay, so here's a question I have for you. You are in Italy with your family, and you send this email that sounds really specific. Word is, as in like somebody told you something, that you heard something through the grapevine. It seems like a little bit of a stretch of the imagination to believe that you would use that language and you're just making something up.
Well, that's what happened. I've come over my life, you know, I was an investigative reporter. I've come to realize that when I come to one of these kinds of conclusions, I figure something out. Nobody's going to believe me. And so I typically will couch it on word is. If I had talked to Julian Assange, I would have said Julian Assange told me.
But that goes right up against, like you said, as an investigative reporter, that goes right up against the idea of being an investigative reporter. You know, everything that you stake your reputation on as an investigative reporter is that, you know, you're believable, that you're telling the truth.
Well, that was a private email to Roger. And you can... you know, you can cast it any way you want, but I'm telling you, in fact, what I did. I've come over my life to and believe that, to know that when I come to one of these, nobody's going to believe me. And I was pretty convinced I was right, and I wanted Roger to believe me. So I said word is.
But the Justice Department takes issue with this email, and they don't believe you.
You're right. The special prosecutor, the FBI, made it clear they did not believe that I did not have a source. It just happens to be the truth.
So based on those emails, the Justice Department believes that you are the conduit between the Trump campaign and WikiLeaks. Were you helping Trump collude with WikiLeaks with the release of these Democratic emails?
No, I mean, I've never spoken to Julian Assange. I don't know Julian Assange. I've never communicated with them by email or any other means. And I did not have and do not have any intermediary that connected me to Julian Assange. So that's what made the Justice Department so angry at me.
If you were able to get to Julian Assange, would you have connected these two things together?
I was willing to contact Assange. I was willing to put somebody else in contact with Assange because it would have been perfectly fine for me to contact Assange or send somebody to contact Assange. Now, it did not happen, so no contact was ever made.
I want to zoom out a little bit and just ask a big general question, which is that the CIA has determined that Russia hacked the emails to help Trump win the election. How do you feel about Russians undermining our democracy?
I think the CIA's political assessment is wrong. It was politically driven, and I don't believe it.
You told us that you plan to sue the special counsel's office. On what grounds?
Well, the complaint is written, and it will be filed tomorrow. And the basic impact is I'm alleging that there is essentially a criminal prosecutorial misconduct.
Your stance is that when they first asked you about this, you didn't remember the emails. Then you clarified and said, hey, this is actually what happened. I made a mistake. And you're saying that the investigation is telling you that, well, that's a lie and you're going to go to jail for it unless you do this plea deal.
Well, in fact, the first count, the only count they wanted me to plead to, reflected my first day's testimony and did not reflect the amendment that they allowed me to make. And I consider that to be fraudulent. The whole thing was fraudulent. And I would not lie before a federal judge, nor would I accept a fraudulent plea deal because it's wrong. I'll spend the rest of my life in prison if that's what I have to do.
So you started a GoFundMe for your legal battle against Mueller's team, and it seems to be going a little bit slow. Do you think that it's going to gain some speed to help you pay off all these legal bills that are mounting up on you?
Well, it has been building, and we'll just see how big it gets. I don't have, you know, I'm hoping to have it cover my legal bills, and I don't know entirely yet what my legal bills will be. It depends if I do get indicted. If there is a trial, it's probably going to be a couple million dollars. But we don't have to cross that bridge yet. And when we do, I'll have to figure it out at that point. They're building, and I hope they continue to build.
Is this worth risking spending the rest of your life in jail?
You mean is my integrity? Look, I'm on a weird duck. I did get a PhD from Harvard, and I do believe in Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you do or not. I'm not going to sign it. They can sign me. They can throw away a key on me for the rest of my life in federal prison. That's what I have to. If that's where justice in America has come to, I'll go. But I didn't ask for the plea.
All right. Well, Jerome Corsi, thank you so much for talking to me today.
My pleasure. I'll be happy to do it again anytime you ask.
Jerome Corsi is a conservative author. We have copies of the Justice Department documents he shared with us, as well as his lawyer's response. You can read those at revealnews.org. Today's podcast was produced by Amy Walters and edited by our executive producer, Kevin Sullivan. Reveal is a production of the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX. I'm Al Letson, and remember, there is always more to the story.